Hello, this is Julie Woodward here. I'm doing the shelter-at-home version of my Demystifying Medicare workshop. It's something I usually do many times a year in a bunch of libraries around the county, also in senior centers. It's a very big program. It's a very turgid topic. This whole thing is very comprehensive. It usually takes 3 hours, but I always try to keep it as upbeat as possible so you can get enough information to make the right insurance decisions for your own personal situations. I usually tell people, don't take notes, let this stuff roll over you. You'll remember the important things, and then you'll be able to look up the missing bits later on. So this is not a college course, it's not a rigorous PowerPoint. You can even let it play in the background while you do the dishes, then come back to the desk when you have to work with the handouts. There's a link for those in the webpage. I hope you were able to print these out. This workshop is not only for people who already have Medicare, it's for those who are getting closer to Medicare eligibility, that's 65, or planning for retirement, or helping relatives and friends with their paperwork and their healthcare decisions. No doubt about it, this subject is complicated. So although this is somewhat of a slog, the good news is that once you know what's out there, you can make changes to what you have each year. You might have to. Over time, your own health may require a different insurance situation. The laws and the plans themselves change frequently enough, and the cost is always, always an issue. What I'm looking to do here is to help you navigate this labyrinth of an industry and make it work for you as best you can. So who are we? I belong to a group of volunteers who once worked within the Westchester Library System helping seniors with their health care insurance and other kinds of information about senior services. You may have even received counseling at one of our SBICs, that's short for Senior Benefits Individual Counseling Centers, which we ran regularly in various libraries around the county for decades, or heard one of our presentations in any one of many senior centers. More information about those at the Senior Benefits tab at the top of the screen. We update ourselves regularly with materials and presentations offered by New York State, CMS, outside speakers, and particularly the Medicare Rights Center in New York City. The MRC is a national nonprofit organization that works to help people through advocacy and through educational programs and public policy initiatives. They're not affiliated with any insurance company, and they're not affiliated with Medicare itself. And neither are we. All of us are volunteers, entirely unaffiliated. We also now collaborate with the county's Department of Senior Programs and Services, which shepherds us through the HICAP certification process. And that's the State Health Insurance Assistance Program funded by the federal government and New York State to help people with their Medicare. I hope you're following along in the presentation PDF on your computer. That's the green button on the right side of the screen, and you can leave it open in another tab, of course, or a window, because it has pictures of the displays I use in the live presentations, and it'll also help you structure this workshop. So if you have that PDF open, I'm at page 4, ready to move on. What is Medicare, and why is it so darn complicated? Medicare is a federal program that helps people with a chunk of their expenses, but certainly not all of them. It's funded by your payroll taxes or self-employment taxes, yours or yours plus your boss's, and from its own trust funds and the current premiums. To understand why it's so difficult to figure out how it all works, I have to start with the history, which really began with the Social Security Act of 1965. The earlier Social Security Act, 30 years earlier, 1935, didn't have any medical component in it. So they fixed that by creating two new titles in the 1965 revision. Title 18 is for Medicare. Title 19 is for Medicaid. We're not dealing in this lecture with Title 19 at all, Medicaid. We're only dealing with Title 18, that's Medicare. Title 18 then created Medicare Parts A and B. It was originally a fee-for-service situation. In other words, Medicare paid providers directly. A whole slew of changes were made over the decades since then, and each of these had to be integrated into what was already there. Difficult to understand, difficult to navigate. And some of what was going on was regulated in different ways by the states as well. This wasn't just a federal effort.
Most of Medicare is not mandatory, but if you're taking Social Security, you do have to be enrolled in Part A. Social Security and Part A are permanently linked. In 1972, they added speech, physical, and chiropractic therapies, because occupational therapy was actually in the original law. And a year later, they let people get Medicare if they had Social Security disability. Versions of managed care, like HMOs, run by private sector companies, came into being in the 70s, and they got more popular in the 80s. But it was only in 1997, with the Balanced Budget Act of that year, that these private insurance plans got formally built into Medicare as Part C. These companies, some are for-profit, others are non-profit, act like an interface between you and the governmental parts of Medicare, which are Parts A and B. And since that 1997 act, they've been calling these Part C plans Medicare Advantage. It was in 1984 that hospice became a permanent benefit of Medicare, and it's managed by a hospice agency through Part A. In 2001, you could get automatic coverage for ALS, that's Lou Gehrig's disease. In 2003, through the Medicare Modernization Act, they built Part D of Medicare, that's for prescription drugs. It went into effect a few years later. Part D consists of private insurance companies who receive premiums from the enrollees and also money from the government. There was some heavy lobbying going on at Congress at that time, which resulted in a law that stipulated only insurance companies could negotiate prices with the manufacturers, not Medicare. The law also prevented the government from establishing a formulary. The only people who could do that were the insurance companies themselves. It's a complicated system they set up. Plans pay out, but they are later reimbursed for much of their costs with rebates from the drug manufacturers and the pharmaceutical managers. The original law set up a massive problem with the donut hole, where enrollees had to pay the total retail cost of their drugs once a certain price limit had been reached. And there were other things in that law, including surcharges for people with higher incomes. Those are called income-related monthly adjustment amounts, or IRMA surcharges, and more about them later. It also encouraged computer-based prescribing, which was to take the place of paper prescriptions. In 2008, a five-star rating system was created using information from surveys and quality measures and staffing. Yearly changes have been made to that system since 2014. Also in 2008, Congress passed a law to bring mental health services in line with the coinsurance of other Part B services. We now pay 20% out of pocket for mental health like the rest of Part B. Which brings us closer to more modern times. First, in 2010, we come to the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, which you wouldn't think has much to do with Medicare because the ACA is for people younger than 65 and Medicare is what covers you later on. It's not that you can't have both, by the way, but there's some real negative financial implications of that arrangement that I'm not going to go into at this time. Essentially, these two types of health insurance work separately. But it's important to know that the ACA law, the legislation itself, did include some things relating to Medicare, and that if efforts to repeal it and not replace it with something equally helpful or better, you might, as a Medicare person, feel the loss of what you have come to expect as part of the coverage. For example, the ACA added quite a few free preventive care services to Medicare, and some vaccines as well. Now, since 2023, all adult vaccines are free, the ones you need in this country, not the ones for foreign travel. But that's just a recent thing. The ACA also included a plan to close that donut hole, which has actually taken years to fix. It helped recover some of the billions of dollars lost through fraud. Well, they actually put money into fighting fraud, put in programs for better screening and compliance. And there's new penalties, better data sharing. There's also now a small Medicare payroll tax for the highest earners. And importantly, they made a 15% cap on the admin costs in the Advantage plans, which include profits and salaries. In 2018, we saw the passage of the Bipartisan Budget Act, and that made more changes to Medicare.
Plans were now allowed to use some of the rebate and premium dollars they got from the government to offer more supplemental benefits that original Medicare couldn't offer. It's reported that a quarter of the people who chose Advantage plans were drawn to these extra benefits. Some of the things in this act were the repeal of the therapy caps, and it set the Part D donut hole to close a little earlier. Telehealth was expanded in the Advantage plans, and changes were also made to Advantage plans for people with chronic conditions and for dual eligibles. Those are the people who get both Medicare and Medicaid at the same time. What were some of the negatives? Well, it lowered the payment responsibility of the Part D insurance companies for brands in the donut hole, and it limited the incentives for insurers to lower the drug costs. They couldn't bargain that effectively under these conditions. It reduced the ACA's prevention and public health grants, and it killed the Independent Payment Advisory Board set up by that earlier law, which was supposed to serve as a check on higher Medicare expenses, but in fact was never convened. Apparently, there was already a decades-old Medicare Payment Advisory Commission, a simpler version of that advisory board, but its recommendations were being routinely ignored by Congress. People with end-stage renal disease can now enroll in an Advantage plan, which they couldn't do before. Enrolling in Medicare Advantage plans is expected to continue to increase. More than half of Medicare enrollees are now in Advantage plans. And that's because through that 2018 law, they've made a lot of far-reaching changes in the structure of it, the permissions to what these plans are allowed to do. They can now help with some long-term care expenses, and they're allowed to include groceries, home safety modifications, in-home support, meal deliveries. You can only get these on a very limited basis, but all this is new. A fair number of these plans will help you with your Part B premium, and some might give you cash back for getting a checkup or a mammogram. The fact that so many of them do not even charge a premium is no small thing at all. The recent 2022 Inflation Reduction Act gave some help to insulin users. Their prescriptions are now capped at $35 a month, and it also built in a plan to bring down the cost of some drugs, the ones costing Medicare the most and that don't have competition, for things like cancer, blood clots, autoimmune diseases. The courts are continuing at this point to reject litigation challenging Medicare's authority to negotiate these prices. Negotiations for the first group of drugs selected, 10 of the most expensive of them, including Eliquis the first time round, will go into effect in 2026, and a different set of the most expensive will be put forward each year. The IRA did some other things. For example, it said that recommended adult vaccines would be free and created a new Medicare prescription payment plan so that people can spread their drug costs throughout the year. This new thing is also referred to as smoothing, and there's no extra cost to be in one of these. You get a bill each month rather than paying the pharmacy each time you pick up your medication. I'll talk about the new yearly cap of $2,100 out-of-pocket expenses and the IRA's changes to the three phases of drug coverage in the cost section later on. Beginning in 2024, licensed counselors like marriage and family therapists could be in Medicare, which is expected to help with provider shortages across the country. After the COVID years, you may have already experienced more telehealth opportunities than before, but 2024 is the last year of widespread telehealth options. What you can do in Medicare is have a virtual check-in with your doctor under certain conditions using a phone or a computer. These are usually 10 minutes or less. Advantage plans, though, can continue to offer telehealth and similar services. Some other recent changes? Well, in July 2024, CMS set up GUIDE, G-U-I-D-E, and that's the acronym for a program called Guiding an Improved Dementia Experience, which is a nationwide model test aiming to support people with dementia and their unpaid caregivers. It'll run for 8 years, and there's a 24/7 support line, a care navigator for help finding services, a caregiver training, and up to $2,500 a year for respite services, typically without any copayments.
H.R. 1, the big bill that Congress signed into law in July 2025, is having a huge impact on the healthcare industries as plans, manufacturers, and providers try to balance patients' needs with market forces. And we hear most about the changes to Medicaid and healthcare for people under 65, but there could be enormous cuts to Medicare in the coming years. That's because H.R. 1 will increase the deficit by trillions of dollars and trigger PAYGO, the budget rule that says any laws that create new spending or tax cuts has to be offset by other legislation. $500 billion of Medicare cuts can be expected over the next decade if Congress doesn't waive this rule. We'll see bans on improving the Medicare savings program, more on that later in the cost savings chapter, and improvements to nursing home staffing. They've put a moratorium on that until 2034. There are restrictions on the prescription drug negotiations. They've carved out some orphan drugs from negotiations, and more drugs have been exempted than were initially estimated. Certain lawfully present older and disabled immigrants will now not be able to get Medicare, even though they've paid into the system through their wages. Importantly, Medicare makes changes to its plan finder on Medicare.gov and will be working a lot with the plan finders in audio chapter 4. In spite of all this, a lot of Medicare works the same way from year to year. So let's look at what actually Medicare is and who it's aimed at. The original Social Security Act of 1965 set up Parts A and B. And when I ask people if they know what Part A actually is, they usually shout out, hospital. And I kind of have to change that mindset right now. Can you start to think of it more as inpatient rather than hospital? Because over time, hospitals have become more and more involved in activities that they bill and process under Part B. Part B, then, can be thought of as outpatient, doctors, therapists, labs, equipment. Part C, the Advantage plans, is, as I said before, when you get Parts A and B filtered through, or better yet, administered by, those private insurance companies. And Part D plans, which are also issued by the private companies, are for prescription drugs. Note, those private insurance companies that offer you the Part C and D plans are almost entirely for-profit companies. Blue Cross Blue Shield used to be nonprofit, but they changed their rules in 1994, and individual plans within that system can choose which way to go, profit or nonprofit. In New York State, there are very few nonprofit insurers, if any. I'm not completely up to date on that. So who can get Medicare? Well, you have to be a citizen of this country or a resident alien. And for most of us, you have to be 65. I say most of us because, as I mentioned before, certain younger people can also get Medicare. The original legislation, though, was built to cover as many seniors as possible. Other categories of non-citizens get included or excluded from Medicare, depending on who is elected president and who gets into Congress. And some of these directives get challenged in the courts. Now, to get Part A free, you also have to have a work history, which means you've paid into the system through payroll or self-employment taxes for at least 10 years or 40 quarters. If you don't personally have this work history, you can also get Medicare through a spouse, even an ex, believe it or not. And if you're younger, you can get it through a parent. If you can't get Part A free because there's no work history that you can draw on, you can still get Medicare by paying for Part A. And you can find the cost of those premiums on the Medicare.gov website. But most of us do get what's called premium-free Part A. Social Security assigns each of us a code. That's to say, your code identifies the person you are able to get Medicare through, that person's work history. Most times it's you. You're the wage earner. You'd be coded A. Code B would be the wife drawing on the husband's benefits. D, if you're a widow, drawing on your spouse's benefits. T, if you're the wage earner, but you're not yet taking Social Security. Some of the codes are really crazy, like DY, fifth surviving divorced wife, or WT, second disabled surviving divorced husband. I love that one.
Remember, children can sometimes get Medicare as well. Here's one. F7 means their second alleged father. So it's a generous system in a certain way. They don't want to leave anybody out. You used to be able to see these codes on the old Medicare cards a couple of years ago. They were built into the number itself. But you can't see them anymore because they've given us all new numbers and these are all random. Anyone with Medicare can get a Part D drug plan, regardless of income or health status or drug usage. We now have to dig a little further into what's actually covered in the various parts of Medicare, the A and the B and the D, and even what's not covered at all. And to do that, we're going to play a little game, which is much more fun in person, but I'm going to give you the gist of it because you'll learn a lot from it. So please try not to skip this next chapter of audio.